Welcome back into another Friday edition of the Dapped on Draft podcast. So as always, we will be breaking down this week's slate of games. And week four is a loaded one, James, and I'm here ready to talk about it with you, James. So how are you feeling about another week of football and a good slate of football coming up too?
It was a slow start to the season for a lot of prospects. Like there's, I don't know what percentage, but maybe 60, 70% of the board that you can't even really evaluate. Mm-hmm. Up to this point, like a Spencer Fano evaluation, you know, I watched his week one tape against UCLA, but this matchup, you know, Utah versus Texas Tech, I don't know if I've ever been more pumped for a matchup in terms of one-on-one like draft matchups. So, and a bunch of other exciting games as well.
Yeah. I feel the same way. I'm about to drop my charting database tomorrow on my Substack, but like, I don't have a single chart for Baron Morton. I don't have a single chart for Drew Aller. I don't have a single chart for Fernando Mendoza because they've played absolutely nobody. And so I'm excited to get into a game where we can actually have some charts ready to roll. Not Drew Aller because he, well, is on a bye. But so he'll be the only one I still don't have a chart for. But yeah, excited to get into some next level competition here. So let's start with that Utah Texas Tech game, because you mentioned Lomu and Fano, the tackles for Utah, but Texas Tech boasts two pretty freaking good pass rushers too. Romello Height is getting a lot of buzz right now. Like scouts keep just telling me every time they go to Texas Tech, like they love this Height kid over there, and he looks good in practice every time they go. And then obviously David Bailey to go along with that as well. So this is going to be a heavyweight fight between those two edge rushers and those two offensive tackles in this matchup.
Yeah, I mean, I think I saw Jordan Reed tweet today that Romello Height and David Bailey lead the FBS in pressure rate, like those two. And yeah, I've seen their numbers popping up whenever I've been looking for players to watch, but it's like, I don't know. I don't want to watch Romello
Height. Right, I'm not watching Texas Tech. These guys.
Sorry. Yeah. So yeah, it's a lot of times, usually we'll have like one good edge rusher and then one good tackle. And it's like, I hope they get matched up one-on-one a couple times and it's kind of hit or miss. But this, unless they just never run like drop back protection or something, they could, you know, scheme their way out of having to deal with them to a certain extent. But hopefully we should get some pretty good one-on-one matchups, like regardless of where people line up.
Yeah. Well, 60 minutes.
Yep.
And again, Baron Morton, we spoke about Baron Morton on yesterday's podcast. This is his real first test too. And again, I think this could be a rematch at the end of the season too, in the Big 12 championship.
Oh yeah. Like
I think these are the two obvious best teams in the Big 12. Big 12 is always really wonky. Once you get into conference play though, there's always some team that just like, they just beat up on each other. And then you'll get like an unranked team versus a ranked team at the end of the season. But I'm excited to see Baron Morton. His leading receiver is out for this game though, Coy Eakin. And Coy Eakin's a guy that I kind of like. I don't know if you've watched any Coy Eakin. I watched him a little bit over the summer. I was like, I'm gonna monitor this guy heading into the season. And he's had a good year so far, but is not expected to play in this game.
So I've not watched him, but I have watched the tight end, Terrence Carter. He's
Louisiana
pretty impressive
transfer
so far. Yeah. And I know they've got some other receivers, Caleb Douglas, I've heard a lot about, Reggie Virgil, I think. So, yeah, I mean, they've got a ton of potential NFL talent on their roster. Both teams do, really.
Yeah. I mean, Texas Tech spent a ton of money this offseason. So, this is what you spend it for these big games. So Rice Eccles will be bumping. I have a really funny story about Rice Eccles. It's just really fast and really random, but my college roommate was from Salt Lake City. And so for spring break, my other college roommate and I were like, we have no plans. And like the day before spring break, he's like, you guys just come out to Salt Lake City. So we're like, okay. And we loaded up his car and just drove out to Salt Lake City on a whim. And then we just like went to the Winter Olympics Museum, which is attached to Rice Eccles Stadium. And mm-hmm. The stadium was unlocked. So we just like walked out onto the field. Just like,
oh, really?
No security, no nothing. Just like walked out to midfield, just like hanging out on Rice Eccles.
So it was one of the people that pops up on my For You page on TikTok is this guy who's like trying to sneak into every college football stadium. And he's like, he's made it pretty far down the list.
I love that. I love that. Man, Syracuse, Clemson, not a lot to look for there, except for like, does Cade Klubnik look like a tolerable quarterback?
Yeah, Syracuse defensively is pretty rough. They've kind of gotten bullied, like especially in the run game, by everybody that they've played. But they've also got like really young secondary that has kind of gotten torched. I mean, they played Colgate and beat them. But yeah, are there any Syracuse players, like potential NFL draft players, on your radar?
Not on my radar.
Chestnut. No.
Yeah. I feel like Deuce Chestnut. We tried to talk about Deuce Chestnut for like years and years and years years and years, but no, not a single one.
It, really, for this game, it's like TJ Parker. He's got to start having big games, and I still think that because inconsistency was something you could hold against him based on last year's tape, and you know, even if he emerges in ACC play, like, the fact that he's kind of disappeared in some big matchups is something that will still be worth mentioning regardless. And so TJ Parker and Peter Woods need to have big performances.
Yeah, I would agree with that against what should be on paper a pretty middling opponent. But yeah. I mean, they've also played another opponent that I thought would be pretty middling, and they struggled to get out of that Troy matchup with a win. So we'll see how that goes. SMU TCU, similar to the Baron Morton thing, this is going to be like Josh Hoover's real first test, I think. Again, North Carolina, fine. It was a P4 versus P4, but that iteration of North Carolina does not look like it's long for the Belichick era. And so SMU spends, again, they're another team that spends a lot of money. They're a loaded team, and they spend like it in the portal. So, and again, a playoff team from a year ago. So, Josh Hoover, this is his real first test. Outside of that, there's not really anybody in that TCU offense that I'm like over the moon about. I know Eric McAllister has some fans, but I'm not like a huge Eric McAllister guy. And I even thought he looked pretty rough in that first game against North Carolina.
Yeah, the only other TCU player that I've even evaluated is Bud Clark, the safety, who I really like. I mean, just super productive. A ton of high quality interceptions on his tape. Like, he isn't getting his stats inflated or anything. So yeah, I really like him. I've got early fourth round grades on both Bud Clark and Josh Hoover, but especially Josh Hoover, like, I really think he has a chance to rise if he can repeat what he's done so far against better competition, because I think his first two games have been outstanding.
Yeah. I do like actually DJ Rogers, the tight end. I wanted to mention, like, he's got a nice body type, a really good body type. He gets feathered with some targets too. So, and actually, now that I say it, the Idaho transfer, like, was consistently open against North Carolina. He was just cutting them up. So Jordan Dwyer, the Idaho transfer there, but he's only a true junior, so might not even see him come out.
Yeah, he wasn't even on my sheet.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything in the rivalry game between Oregon and Oregon State really intrigue you, other than just like Dante Moore some more? But again, it's another kind of middling opponent for Dante Moore and the Oregon Ducks here.
Yeah, I think maybe I've got to just adjust the way that I view certain teams now in terms of how strong of competition it is for evaluation purposes. I think Oregon, I need to view it as like a MAC team, basically.
Yeah,
because they don't stop anyone, at least defensively. So. Yeah, I think it's kind of another pretty soft matchup for Dante Moore.
Yeah, should be. Auburn, Oklahoma. This one should be a good one. We'll get Xavier Chaplin versus R. Mason Thomas and the Adebowore brother as well, coming off the edge for Oklahoma. Oklahoma, I mean, David Stone, that defensive tackle, is going to be a first rounder next year, I think. He's playing out of his mind. So Connor Liu is going to have a really strong matchup here against David Stone, who looks the part there. And then, you know, Auburn's got a lot of speed, and then Oklahoma's got some back end guys like Gentry Williams to kind of keep an eye on too. So, and then obviously John Mateer, like, is this a game where John Mateer establishes himself? Because like, people are loving the Mateer tools, and I get it, but like, I haven't thought that the tape from a process standpoint has been like spectacular.
No, I mean, he's gotten pretty lucky that he doesn't have a lot more interceptions.
Yeah, he already sits with three through three games. Yeah. It looks pretty. I mean, it's a little cleaner than his Washington State tape. I will say, like, I was very frustrated watching his Washington State tape. Just like, how are you missing Y-cross this consistently?
Yeah.
Like even against Michigan, like, struggled to read out mesh and find the sit, like the deep sit, and like tried to run, it, like tuck the ball and run. It's just like those are the things I want to see him do. So this will be a good test for John Mateer here as well. Auburn can't really cover anybody, so Deion Burke should have a pretty nice game here as well.
Deion Burks is a player that I really liked in 2023, last year's summer scout, and I actually watched his tape and then kind of just like refreshed myself. I'm really excited about him. I think he has some of the best acceleration like in his routes in this receiver class.
I was really impressed by that Michigan game from Deion Burks. Like, again, I've been like pretty vocal. Like, I've missed on a lot of wide receivers who are like, well, this guy can run every single route. Mm-hmm. But like, they can't play through contact. But Deion Burks was like stacking dudes down the field, tracking the ball over his outside shoulder, deep vertically down the field, and wasn't just doing gimmicky gadgety stuff. So that was a really good game for me in terms of like Burks building a draft profile again, because like last year it kind of got shattered a little bit, and now we're kind of rebuilding it. And I thought that was a great game.
Yeah, and I mean, I think this is kind of like the B version of the Utah Texas Tech matchup, because what you're going to get in the trenches, or at least, you know, outside the trenches with Xavier Chaplin versus R. Mason Thomas. Like, I know they're going to, you know, he's rushing off of Chaplin's side a lot of the time. So
yeah,
hopefully. I haven't really been that impressed with Chaplin this year, and wasn't very high on him heading into the year, but he's got outrageous physical tools.
Yeah. He's a frustrating watch. Like, I didn't love him either, because I think his feet are a mess, but at the end of the day, he's got like 36 and a half inch arms. And so it's like, dude, your feet aren't getting to speed, but like, it doesn't matter, because you're just so outrageously long that you can still punch. But Chaplin's the exact kind of body type that R. Mason Thomas has historically cooked. Like, those like lumbering, stiffer offensive tackles. Those are the guys that R. Mason Thomas gets underneath of.
The P5 foam athletes.
Yes, the P5 foam athletes. I mean, Will Campbell doesn't really fall into that category, but I wasn't huge on Will Campbell's like foot speed coming out of LSU last year. And R. Mason Thomas had a couple of like high quality reps against Will Campbell last year too. So this
Will
is a matchup.
There are times where he looks a little bit stiff. Like, I agree with you. And then he'll have some insane inside recoveries. Like, he had one, I think it was week one, just a like sliding with an inside move where, I mean, he looked like, you know, Lane Johnson kind of.
Yeah. Michigan and Nebraska. Dude, Justice Haynes is averaging like 8 yards a carry right now.
He's very good.
Yeah. I like Justice Haynes, which I didn't like love his summer tape, but like Dalton and I had kind of tabbed him as like, this is a guy who could make this running back class better in a better situation where he's not splitting carries with Jam Miller. And yeah, dude, he's averaging 8 yards a carry right now for Michigan. Maybe a little muddied by like a few explosive runs, like long breakaway runs. But I mean, you take those that doesn't hinder a draft profile by any means. If anything, it puts more into your profile that you can pull away vertically in the open field. So I'll be watching Justice Haynes. Michigan doesn't really have any DBs that I'm thrilled about. I was going to say Dane Key, but like, he should have a decent game against those Michigan DBs, as long as Raiola can get to the ball. I haven't really loved what Raiola's put on tape outside like the first 4 weeks of his freshman season last year either.
Yeah, people were trying to argue with me on Twitter about like Raiola being better than Ty Simpson and Dante Moore this year, which like, Dante Moore hasn't played anyone, but like, Raiola has just never really impressed me as a like processor, really.
No. But he's got some really fun tools, but.
The other Michigan guy that I'm going to be looking for in this game is Jayshon Barham, who is an off-ball linebacker, was not impressed with his tape off the ball last year, but apparently they've moved him to edge. I was listening to a Stock Exchange podcast, and they highlighted him as like one of their risers, which I was off my radar. And apparently he's playing edge. And so I'm going to be checking him out this game for sure.
6'3", 243. He's got the measurables.
Yeah, I mean, listening to them describe him, it sounded pretty good. So we'll see.
Yeah. I want to see what his arm length is. Like, I don't know if he has an NFS grade or not.
I think it was I have 33. Yeah.
33
inch arms, 75th percentile wingspan, 96th percentile hand size.
That's for play.
A linebacker, but for an edge, yeah.
That'll play. Yeah. So that'll be interesting to watch. Nebraska doesn't really have any offensive linemen that drive me crazy. But yeah, I will keep an eye on that for sure. I kind of like Ernest Hossman a little bit stacked in the second level. He's athletic, but he lacks instincts still.
So tell me about Derek Moore out of Michigan, because he's the highest ranked person on the consensus board that I haven't watched, but I just keep putting him off to watch other players.
I just think he's just a guy. I see average tools. He'll get on the field because he is kind of like a master of none, but he's a fairly well-rounded player. But I think he's kind of your typical, you take this guy in the fifth round and he's a rotational pass rusher. So it's just one of those guys. Doesn't really move me too much. All right. Next game to really hit on here. Duke NC State. Are you a Jacarius Peaks guy versus Vincent Anthony?
I've heard about Jacarius Peaks. I haven't watched him.
I haven't really watched him either. I can't really talk too much about
there
him.
There's two players in this game that I haven't watched, but that I need to, and that's Jacarius Peaks and Darian Mensa. Mm-hmm. So we'll definitely check this game out. Also, Hollywood Smothers for NC State has been going off statistically.
Yeah.
But haven't gotten to him yet. So this game actually has a lot of players that are kind of on my list to watch, but I haven't gotten to. And then also guys Vincent Anthony, who was really impressed with his tape against Illinois, and JC Davis. And he's really emerged this year. So it'll be good to see him against another good competition. He's a really good athlete with long ass arms.
Yeah, I haven't charted Mensa yet this year, mainly because I just don't see him as a 2026 guy. But over the summer, I thought he was pretty accurate. I didn't love his process a whole ton, and his arm is flexible, so he's got arm talent, but the drive isn't quite as impressive as I was hoping it would be coming into the season as well, or going into that tapes over the summer as well.
My highest graded player in this game is Justin Jolie,
tight end. Yeah,
yeah. Haven't kept up with him this year.
I haven't either.
It's Jolie, right?
Yes. J-O-L-Y.
Yeah, classic tight end stat line. 4 receptions, 22 yards, and 2 touchdowns last week.
Nice. Love it. Love it. All right, South Carolina, Missouri. Sellers is playing. He's probable. He's probable to play in this game after getting knocked out of last week's game with a concussion. It was 7 pass attempts, and he did throw an interception. He was 6 of 7 on the game. And the interception was a defensive tackle replacing in coverage, falling out and replacing in coverage that he just didn't pick up, throwing a Texas route right into his lap. But I thought from a process standpoint, those 6 completions were some of the most on-time anticipatory throws that I've seen Sellers throw. And as a college quarterback. So it was really disappointing that he got knocked out of that game, because I was like, oh, he's stacking throws. And again, it was the scripted drive too, so that's a little hard to tell sometimes too. But I thought from a pure he's getting his eyes where they need to be fast and getting the ball out. That was the best he's looked, in my opinion, last week. So playing against Missouri here, yeah, we'll see how that goes. We've also got Kevin Coleman against Jalen Kilgore. I'm not a huge Jalen Kilgore fan.
Me either.
And then, hey, this could be Caden Green's first real tested offensive tackle, though, since kicking out to left tackle. Why can't I think of the kid's name? The sophomore who's going to go first round next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tresher.
Dylan Stewart.
He's going to have Dylan Stewart in his lap for a lot of that game. So, I think this is a Caden Green. Yeah, this is definitely a Caden Green resume game for sure against South Carolina. South Carolina, for all of their faults, always has super deep defensive lines.
Yeah, they've got Brian Thomas Jr.
Mm-hmm.
The highest motor Brian Thomas Jr. in football.
I will say. Oh, gosh.
I mean, sidebar, I feel dumb as hell because I made a video this summer. The title is Brian Thomas Jr. is the future of the NFL, which I would not have made if there's anything remotely like what he did last week on his tape. although the discourse about throwing over the middle of the field that has come from that is pretty fine.
So now, stupid. I mean, it's terrible.
Terrible. Now that hospital ball is like in the just permanently in the lexicon, and that's just going to be like something that we just have to talk about forever.
Yeah, agreed. All right, we got Florida Miami here. This will be the best defense that Carson Beck has played. Well, no, he played Notre Dame.
Notre Dame's secondary.
What?
Notre Dame's secondary.
Yeah,
is
that's kind of really good. Were you saying opposite?
Well, I thought they were awful against Texas A&M.
Yeah. I mean, outside of Leonard Moore, I had high hopes for Aiden Shuler. So, like, from a name perspective, I always thought the Christian Gray kid was like, okay.
Yeah, but Christian Gray had a rough game.
Yeah. Carson Beck's tape. So I think this is a conversation we're going to have because people talked about Carson Beck going first overall last year. People are going to say like, well, there's no reason he can't get back in that conversation. Like, I think we have to have the conversation, like watching Carson Beck, that you can definitely tell he blew his elbow out on his throwing arm last year. Like, you can tell that the ball does not explode out of his hand. It just doesn't. So I like that the ceiling is very capped for Carson Beck, I think. Yeah. And then even the Notre Dame game, I didn't think the ball placement was overly spectacular. I mean, CJ Daniels bailed him out on that one-handed grab that should have been an interception. This past week against USF, you know, he had a couple deep ball completions that I thought were really poorly leveraged, where the wide receiver adjusted the track and made a play on the football. So like, I haven't been overly thrilled with the Carson Beck tape from an NFL draft perspective, but I'm never gonna like talk bad about having like a good college quarterback season. Like, it's great. This resurgence for Carson Beck at the college level is great. I'm gonna remain pretty mum on him as an NFL draft prospect, though.
Yeah, I'm probably a little bit higher on him than you, but I feel similarly to him as I do with Garrett Nussmeier, where I think he operates the middle of the field really well. And from a clean pocket in structure, like, he can really just dice you up. But when the pocket heats up, he has no playmaking instincts, really forgettable athletic traits. And he is, you know, I think he does interceptions come from, to me, two different places with Carson Beck. It's him, his process getting sped up because of pressure, and he just makes a reckless decision. But then it's also, he doesn't, for somebody that targets the middle of the field a lot, he doesn't do a very good job of manipulating linebackers with his eyes. And he will just kind of, he does a lot of the first process really good, where he'll check off reads and kind of get to his backside progression. But with his eyes, he's just leading linebackers into the passing lane. And so he throws a lot of interceptions there as well. So yeah, he's to me kind of a third round, like, fringe starter.
Yeah, I think I can get there as like a game manager type quarterback. I think the ceiling is probably like a backup spot starter kind of quarterback, though.
My comp is Davis Mills.
Okay. I can get on board with that. I will be excited to watch some more CJ Daniels in this game, though, because I've been pretty impressed with CJ Daniels through this early part of the season.
I'm kind of doing my grades a little bit differently this year, where instead of, you know, updating them like once every 6 weeks, I'm kind of just updating them as I go. And CJ Daniels is somebody that I've just given a little bump every single game I've watched. He started off as kind of a day three player, but I've already got him up to a late third round grade. I'm also really excited to watch the Florida offensive line against the Miami D line. Because for as bad as Florida has been, I've actually been really impressed with their offensive line. I think Austin Barber has played really well. He had some disgusting run blocks in that LSU game. We talked about Najee Harris, and then Jake Slaughter is a solid kind of like early day three center, I think. And then, you know, Miami's got Reuben Bain Jr., who is, to me, the best player in the class. I think he's been the best pass rusher in college football pretty clearly through 3 weeks. And then also they've got David Blay Jr., a transfer from Louisiana Tech, who is he's a 6'02", 5", 305 pounds, 33 3/8 inch arms. I never heard of him, but I saw ESPN, they do like a consensus board with Mel Kiper, Jordan Reed, all the guys. Mm-hmm. And they had David Blay Jr. in the top 30 on their board. So like he wasn't even on my list. So I added him, watched a couple games. I thought I gave him a fourth round grade, so I didn't really see that, but I'll be keeping an eye on him.
Yeah. Love that. Love that. Yeah. This seems like for Bane, I feel like Austin Barber is the ideal kind of offensive tackle that he can completely take advantage of. The kind of like those stiffer, taller guys who play with wide hands. So like JP and I talked about this when we did Dafter Draft earlier in the week, but like, I just feel like Austin Barber is going to have a gigantic target on his chest, like for 60 minutes, because Barber plays with kind of those wider hands and lacks quite a bit of knee bend, I think. So I think he's a little more upright than you would want your offensive tackles to be. And I think that's going to be to a guy like Bane's advantage, who just wants to explode out and run through your chest. So I will be keeping a close eye on that matchup for sure. The big one, in my opinion, though, is Indiana, Illinois. The big, because like, I think we're already in week four. And again, it's a long season, but like, we are already in week four, like desperate for somebody to say like, please draft me in the first round.
Yeah.
Like for some quarterback to be like, please, please draft me in the first round. And I think this is a game where if Fernando Mendoza goes out and he lights up Illinois, that we can firmly say like Fernando Mendoza is probably the best quarterback in the nation. At least draft eligible quarterback in the nation to this point, because it hasn't been pretty elsewhere. So I'm really excited about this game to see Mendoza against a team that's not Old Dominion, that's not Indiana State, that's not Kennesaw State. So get a chart in my database as well here in this game. But this is a huge opportunity for Mendoza to really establish himself.
Yeah, I mean, this is a massive opportunity. We pretty much created a new segment that we'll be unveiling next week, probably, that is, like this game was kind of the spark for. But yeah, there are some guys that need to prove themselves in a big moment here on Indiana's roster. And I would look at Mendoza, but also Omar Cooper Jr., who has been mostly really impressive to me this year. But again, the level of competition is so weak. So if he comes out, has a big game against Illinois, that'll kind of verify what I've thought of Omar Cooper so far. I also like some of Indiana's defensive backs, but especially from a draft perspective, Amari Farrell is probably my favorite. D'Angelo Pons is kind of a fun college player, but at 5'9", 170, yeah. I'm just not elite speed, you know?
Yeah. Completely there. It's worth mentioning as well, Xavier Scott's not expected to play in this game. So Xavier Scott in the slot, because he plays predominantly like in the slot against Omar Cooper in this game, would have been a lot of fun to watch, but it's a matchup we're not going to get.
Indiana, they have a lot of, it's a roster that is very like good for college football, but it's a lot of the guys that are going to get drafted. I think it's a lot of day three picks, because it's just all JMU transfers who kind of don't really have the measurables, and that's why they were under recruited. But then they develop into great college players, which is great for Indiana. But you look at them, it's not like, I don't really see too many translatable athletic traits with Elijah Surratt or Mikhail Kamara, who I think are, great college players. And then for Illinois, like I guess J.C. Davis is really the main guy offensively that I'm looking at.
Yeah. Kamara versus J.C. Davis could be a good matchup for sure. Mm-hmm. Davis is another one of those guys who's kind of just a wonky mover. He's a good athlete, just kind of a wonky mover, kind of undisciplined with his technique a little bit. So and it's kind of translated into this year again as well. It's kind of been the case since he's been at New Mexico. But all right. Arizona State Baylor. Sawyer Robertson is going to throw for 400 yards a game. We'll see. We're going to get some Keith Abney reps, because they're going to throw the ball 40 freaking times, 45 times here. So they're going to target Abney at least a little bit. Where again, that Mississippi State game really was just like one or two targets, one in man-to-man coverage at Abney, and then the rest were away from him. So excited to see Abney get some targets. Baylor's wide receivers, I know like a lot of people like the Josh Cameron kid. I don't love the Josh Cameron's tape. I actually really like, they have a sixth year guy, Ashton Hawkins,
who Josh Cameron, I just looked at his measurables. So we got another guy that's going to get compared to AJ Brown. Great.
Yeah. He's a dense dude. He's a really good kick returner, like a really good return man. I don't love the way he moves on tape. But I do like the sixth year guy, Ashton Hawkins, a little bit. He moves really well, but he's definitely a slot receiver. I mean, if this is a game where Arizona State needs a get right game offensively, Baylor's defense is dreadful. So, yeah.
Baylor, if we have any Baylor fans listening, I'm not a hater, but there are two kind of, I think, top prospects. I just really don't see it with it all. Sawyer Robinson, we've talked about, mm-hmm. I think is just a classic case of a tall guy that people stereotype.
Mason Rudolph,
having a big arm.
Mason Rudolph all over again.
It's like, it's kind of like mind boggling to me. And then Bryson Washington, did not see it with him at all. And he's ranked highly on some, people's boards, but I have been really impressed with the tight end Michael Trigg at points. Like crazy frame. I think 34 and a half inch arms. Yeah. His wingspan is 84 and a half inches.
Mm-hmm. Do you know he's half brothers with Michael Williams?
10 and three quarters.
Yeah. Do you know he's half brothers with Michael Williams?
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Trigg is definitely really intriguing. Scouts like the traits. Trigg is also one of those guys. There's a reason he's been through USC and Ole Miss on his way to Baylor already, though. So, like, that's just something to keep in the back of your mind if you're listening about Michael Trigg. But, like, he's a tremendous player when he's, like, is locked in and he's playing. So, yeah, that's definitely a good one. Again, Jordan Tyson as well. But, again, Baylor doesn't have anybody defensively that's going to wow me or, like, really going to turn me on defensively to watch that side of the football for them.
Yeah, I've got plenty of Baylor players like in my database, but I haven't really evaluated anyone on Baylor's defense, to be honest.
Yeah, me neither. We have another John Michael Gillenborg against a Power 4 opponent against Colorado. It seems like they're on the every other week plan. Maybe this is a week they feed him again. It doesn't make sense because their offense is terrible otherwise. So you feel like they'd want to feed their best player of the football, but they're really struggling to do that right now. Last game to really talk about then is Michigan State USC, man. And can Aiden Childs do it again? Again, I think USC's got some horses to run that defense out of the stadium, unfortunately, because I don't think that Michigan State defense is super competitive right now with Jacoby Lane and Mekhi Lemon coming into the building. But offensively for Michigan State, USC's got a pretty good defense this year too now. Comparative to prior years. So, but this is going to be an Aiden Childs game. A resume game for sure as well. Can you keep your team afloat? Can you, despite what I would say backs against the wall, you're on the other side of the country. You're the underdog. Both sides of the ball, you are probably the underdog. Aiden Childs for sure. I'll be watching that one.
Yeah, USC has a bunch of just NFL-looking athletes on their defense.
Dude, they had a sophomore. I got to look this up because they have a sophomore defensive lineman who, like, that guy's going to go first round next year.
Really? Keyshawn Silver, their defensive tackle, is a 6'0", 3'7", 332 pounds with 35 and a quarter inch arms. They've got Eric Gentry with 35 and 3/8 inch arms. Like,
he's like 6'5" at playing linebacker.
Yeah. I mean, they've just got, and they used to be kind of like a soft, get pushed around at the point of attack type of team. And they've got like Anthony Lucas, the edge rusher, Braylon Shelby, not guys that I have like grades on, but I've just watched their defensive line. And I mean, they're a lot better than the USC of old for sure.
And then you throw in that they have probably like the best post safety in the nation as well on the defense. So, and Kamari Ramsey, the sophomore I was talking about is, I'm not going to pronounce this right at all. It's Jide Abasiri, number 97. I saw this dude bend and corner playing 4-eye, like taking the outside shoulder of guard. Unbelievably quick, listed at 6'5", 295, playing interior for them. Kid's a freak. So like he's already got a monitor tag for me heading into next summer. Michigan State, though, again, they're only in year two of this Jonathan Smith rebuild, but they're pretty devoid of NFL draft talent outside of an underclassman wide receiver who's probably going to be in first round conversations next year, Aiden Childs, who might not even declare this year anyway. That's about it for Michigan State.
Yep. I've got Aiden Childs and Jack Velling with a seventh round grade.
I know Sac State transfer at running back. Ryan Roberts really likes the Sac State transfer at running back. The kid with two last names. Tau Tolliver. Yeah. Ryan likes Tau Tolliver, but he's not even getting starter carries for them right now either. So, yeah, we'll see how that one plays out. If Lincoln Riley has a classic Lincoln Riley brain fart at home in this game, or, you know, again, does Aiden Childs just keep Michigan State in the game? Because I think he's really freaking talented. So, and it looks like it's starting to click for him a little bit.
Yeah, I think he's been solid to start out the year.
Yeah.
But like Sam Leavitt and a lot of other guys, I'm not really evaluating him with the idea that he'll be in this class, like, in my mind.
Yeah, I'm not either. But, like, there's something about his body type and his skill set that says, like, if he has a good year, like, he's an NFL. He looks like an NFL quarterback, though, yeah. You know? Compared to, like, Leavitt, who I think is small and yeah. Just, like, kind of quirky, you know? Like, Childs wears, like, the Quinshon Judkins pants, and, like, you can see that his quads are, like, he looks the part. He looks the part. So that's why I'm just, like, always in the back of my mind, but, like, yeah, but this guy looks like a prototypical NFL quarterback, and he has the skill set of a prototypical NFL quarterback that just, like, keeps bringing me back to, like, but he could, if he stacks it, he could. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have a third-round grade on him because I think the upside is pretty tremendous. So yeah. I'm with you there.
Awesome, man. Well, that's the slate of games. I think we hit. Anything else you wanted to point out here?
There are some other decent matchups. I mean, Cal San Diego State. I don't know what it is with the West Coast corners this year, but Chris Johnson for San Diego State, the Hezekiah kid from California. I like the Stanford corner, Colin Wright. I don't know what it is, but yeah, a lot of underrated corners playing at 10 p.m. this year.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm going to watch this Aiden Childs game, but that's at 11 p.m.
Yeah.
On Eastern time. And I have two very young kids, so I don't know if I'm going to be watching that game.
Yeah. The night games are kind of like I watch as I'm falling asleep. Honestly, I'm interested what your kind of Saturday watching schedule is. Cause mine, for somebody that like watches a ton of tape and covers it super hardcore, like I use Saturday as a, you know, I like to watch college football like socially and like go out yeah. to a bar. So I'm not super, you know, oh, I've got to rewind every snap and like that's what the tape's for.
Right. Exactly. I don't. Yeah. So like Saturdays, especially because I cover the Browns and I have to have Sundays afternoons to cover the Browns. Saturdays, I'm usually giving my wife Saturday afternoons right. off since she's taking Sunday afternoons so I can cover the Browns. So it's like I'll peep a game if I can, but most of the time, like if my son's watching Paw Patrol, I'll pull up a game on my laptop off to the side or something like that. But live viewings are unless it's a night game and my kids are in bed, are few and far between for Saturdays right now.
I mean I'm watching football all day. It's just I'm always like flipping through games, so I miss out on a lot of context. Like if you're like I said that Whit Weeks got injured, but I missed the targeting call because I was
yeah like the second offensive player, the second defensive player yeah. of the game. Yeah. All right. Well, we're gonna have a lot to talk about on Monday coming back.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be a stacked week. I mean, we might have to do two helmet sticker episodes.
Yeah,
might have or to make down offense helmet defense. Sticker.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, you enjoy your weekend. You enjoy a great slate of college football. You too, everybody out there, enjoy a great slate of college football. We will be watching the Fernando Mendoza hype train. It rolls on. So
we will be seated.
We will be seated. But until next time, this has been another episode of the Daft on Draft Night.